World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is Coach Dave. Coach Dave and I am live and I'm in my car. Sorry for the bad signal. Sorry for the bad internet connection. As most of you know, I'm scheduled to speak at Worthington Kilbourne High School this morning over here. It's about 40 minutes from my home. And I'm scheduled to speak at 8:30. So I've been trying to figure out how am I going to make this work? How am I going to get this 45-minute drive over to Worthington and do my show and get through the traffic? Because the traffic is horrific over in this area. And be able to pull both of these things off. I didn't know I was going to be able to do it. So I got up at 4:30 in the morning, and I left home early. And I'm sitting in a parking lot outside of a shopping mall, using the internet connection to an establishment behind me. So we're Coach Dave, and we're live. That's the way we try to be. People are... starting to get a little bit daylight here. It's a funny morning here in Ohio. It's one of those frozen fogs. You know, guys know what I'm talking about? There's fog everywhere, and the windows are plastered with ice. Frozen fog. I don't know if you guys get that where you are, but we get it here where we are. And so bear with me. I want to try to make this. You know, I promised you guys we were going to have Mark Trump today. Mark's with us, but Mark got in late last night, and he wants to do a good job with what's going on. So tomorrow is going to be Mark Trump and the Mandela Effect and some other crazy stuff that's going on. In fact, Mark just emailed me, mandatory vaccinations coming to America. Yes, you heard that right. The order just came down yesterday. Mark sent it to me, and I was watching it as I was driving over. By the way, I'm in my car right now, but I'm not driving. I'm parked. And my toes are cold because it's not very – I got to turn the heat up a little bit. Mandatory vaccination. And see, they're going to start out with mandatory vaccinations through health workers. Isn't it the way they always do? It's always about health. It's always for your benefit. Always mandatory. In fact, Mark, I think you're there, Mark. Help me out here, Mark.
Yes, sir.
This is like beginning like today, isn't it? Didn't I read that in that email you sent, Mark? Mandatory vaccinations today. For VA workers, was that right, Mark?
Yeah, Directive 1192 came out. I was made aware of it. Believe it or not, guys, this is how this group works. I met a friend in Boise. He works at the VA, and he mailed me this letter. So I was able to share this with you because of the Watchman. So you guys, Dave, are creating new Watchmen, and it's amazing. But, yeah, I was able to share that with you, and it came down at his VA that they have to get they have to get it. He's livid. He's not going to get it. He wears that big old beard. So he's going to have that big old beard with a mask. It's going to be something.
So, but they're telling us it's going to be mandatory, right, Mark? In order to keep
it
up, right now it's starting out just in the VA. Is that
right? That's right.
So once they get that thing established in the VA, mandatory vaccinations, folks. And you know why? You know why we have to have those mandatory vaccinations? I'm going to tell you, tinfoil hat. Here you go. You ready? Because of illegal immigration, because of the people that we're bringing in that are bringing. Now they say it's the flu. We see that up in Minnesota. There was, what did I see yesterday? 5-6 different deaths from this strain of something they've brought in. Folks, I'm telling you, man, the devil is at work like we don't even understand. And remember this, he always comes as an angel of light. He always comes. It's always a good reason why he comes. It's always a good reason. It's for the children. It's for your health. It's so you don't get the flu. We gotta let all the immigrants in because Jesus loves everybody. You understand how this whole game works, folks?
And it's ridiculous.
There's consequences to it. And nobody ever wants to talk about the consequences. The same thing with homosexuality. The exact same thing. Some guy wants to have sex with another man, and then you and I are forced to pay for the consequences of that through our what? Through our health care. We're now forced to pay for what we call risky behaviors. And if you say anything about risky behaviors, you kicked out the door, man. That's what we're dealing with here. This is amazing. So see, most of us, we don't seem to care. It doesn't affect us, right? It doesn't affect you. Yeah, it does, baby. Yeah, it does. It does affect you. Listen, I'm on a horse here a bit this morning because I'm excited to go over and speak to this group of young kids. But I got some stuff. This is what the Lord laid on my heart this morning. And then when I get in there, I get logged on. The Silver Man, Joe. See, guys, folks, for those of you who don't know, we're in this queue. We log on here about 15 minutes before the show starts. And we tell a bunch of lies and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We just have a little go-around free-for-all here, talking with each other. And Joe, the Silverman, the guy with the million-dollar voice, starts reading something, and the hair is standing up on the back of my neck, because one of the things I'm talking about today when I go into Worthington Kilbourne High School to speak to these 100 seniors is the difference between Christianity and religion. And lo and behold, what was Joe? My goodness, Lord, you're unbelievable, the connection. See, God is the ultimate GPS. He's the ultimate. Now, I'm going to come back to that, but I want to do something right now. Joe, keep that in your pocket because I want you to read that thing. Man, I got to turn some heat up in here. I want you to read that thing that you were reading there, Joe. But before we do that, folks, I want to show you something that we got going on. I'm putting Jared on the spot here. We're getting ready to launch our new T-shirt. And we're launching the new T-shirt for a couple different reasons. Most important reason. You hear me? Look, I'm going to get close here. Listen. The church doesn't belong to the pastor. All right? The church doesn't belong to the pastor. Your pastor ain't Pope. And if it's a congregation and you're part of the body, then listen, boys and girls, you're going to have to start beginning to impact what goes on inside that local body. And Jared's going to throw up here on the screen for us the new T-shirt that we're going to launch. We're not quite ready yet on our website. We're going to do this. And I want to give credit where credit is due. My buddy, Pastor Tom Gill, he texted me this yesterday. He was listening to the show, and he texted me this. And this slogan, he says, here, you can use this. And man, did it resonate with me. So here's the T-shirt that we're getting ready to launch. Is it up on the screen, Jared? Can you throw that thing up there for us? And we have it right now. It's going to, you know, it's not a finished product, so bear with us. But I'm looking this over. I got my computer over here. There it is. There it is. Here's the shirt we're getting ready to launch. And we want all of you, we want you to do this. We want you to buy one, and we want you to wear it to church. We want you to buy one, and we want you to get one for your pastor. We want to make guns okay with Christianity again. We have got to make guns okay with Christianity. Do you hear me? Hey, folks, do you hear me out there? Here's our T-shirt. You can see the front of it. Listen, we're not ready to handle the orders yet, okay? The front of the shirt says, scroll down there, right there, Jared. It's a picture of a man standing behind a pulpit with a red gun on his hip. And it says, protect the flock. Buy a Glock. We might change that from buy to get or with. Protect the flock with a Glock. And then on the back of it, scroll on up there, Jared. On the back of it, it says this. Be prepared. The devil is coming to church. Well, he already showed up, didn't he? Devil already showed up in church. And Jared, if you can make that larger so I can see. So I can see what the scripture verse is on the back of that, Jared. I should know, but I don't. Shame on me. And I can't see it on this little phone. Can somebody read what it says, the scripture verse there? Somebody please jump in there.
Then said he unto them, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Luke 22.
Let's make guns okay for Christians again. We have to make guns okay for Christians again. And you know what? It's one of the same issues that I fight every time when I begin to talk with people on my email or Facebook or I hear from people. It's the same stupid response. People think violence is not the answer. Hey, dudes, the only one using the violence is the other side. The devil's coming right in the church. And I don't care if you want to be nonviolent. I don't care if you don't want to defend yourself. I don't care if you think it's that you're going to be somehow more righteous than everybody else and you're going to die if some guy comes into your church because you don't have a gun, you're not protected, you don't have a plan. If you want to do that, that's okay. But what about the little boy that's 6 months old or 7 years old sitting beside you? And is he laying down his life? Is he willfully laying down his life? Or are you thinking only about yourself?
And hey, Coach.
I say it's time we had more guns in churches, more men packing in churches, and that the last thing that some snowflake like this dude yesterday or the other day, the last thing he's going to do is think about going into some church because he knows he's going to get popped. You see, he goes into the church right now because he knows this Jesus loves everybody, Christianity. He knows they're just going to be like, what, shooting fish inside of a barrel. He knows that. Yeah, Vince, go ahead.
Coach, you're getting real weak on your level. What's that? Like you lost your mic or something.
I probably did.
Yeah, I was just gonna say being Christian never equates to being a victim.
Of course not. Of course not. Why is it okay to use guns in war? In fact, Christians are pro war. Yeah, bomb them. Yeah, shock and all. Yeah, go America. Do you ever think that you're killing innocent people? Do you ever stop to think about that? But here we are in America, and the devil's coming right in the front door of the church, and we got holier-than-thou Christians saying, shouldn't be guns inside our sanctuaries. Somebody help me out. Am I the only one that thinks like this?
No. Hey, Coach, I just got a Facebook picture on my Facebook page showing a bunch of Puritans walking to church in the snow, and they're all carrying. They all got their shotguns on their sides as they're walking to the church. If we went back in our history, that's what you would see. That's how the church was being protected. They stood guard.
Okay, so Ray, who is the church then? Who is the church? Is the church the pastor and the worship team and the elders? Is that the church? Do you have no say?
No, sir.
Inside your church, is it a small business? And if you walk into your church on Sunday and you're wearing a shirt that says "Protect the flock with a Glock," and you got a Glock on your hip, what's going to be the reaction of your pastor? Listen, boys, we have to provoke them to love and to good works. And if you carry a gun into church, you're carrying a gun into church because you're trying to protect the innocent folks around you. Yes, whoever that was, jump in here.
Yeah, it's Pastor Dale here, brother. You know, we had a meeting last night. Of course, we have these meetings periodically. I'm not going to explain our defense strategies, but we do prepare at our church, and most people don't realize that we have positions and people in play. But of course, there are some things, and one of those things is that people need to be aware of is that according to the state or the bylaws of the church, how they choose to handle. Listen what I'm saying. I mean, you know, some churches, they don't want them. That's their choice. I would tell a person that attends there, it's time to leave, truthfully, because it's like walking on private property. You can't just walk on private property with a gun without the owner's permission, if that makes sense. So I'll just skip that one aside. I mean, you know where I stand, so it's not even an issue. But I'm also looking at a slogan. We were talking about slogans for T-shirts also because, you know, of course, to protect the flock with a Glock, that's promoting the Glock gun. Not everybody has that, so I don't want to make everybody feel offended who doesn't have a Glock. But so we're looking at like shepherds, you know, shepherds, the overseers. Shepherds love the son, capital S O N. Protect your flock with a gun.
Good, good. See, my position on it, Dale, is Glock is just kind of universal language for a gun. I don't care what kind of gun.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know.
That sounded good, right?
Oh, I know.
I get what you're saying, but I think the average person will understand that it doesn't have to be a Glock, you know? It doesn't have to be a Glock. Hey, folks, listen, here's part of the problem.
No, no, no.
Here's one of the things.
But once again, you can't just, you know where I stand, but a person can't just walk into a church, even if you're part of that body, and be possessing a gun. There's some state laws that do not allow, no matter what the pastors say, guns in general assemblies.
Well, then we need to change that then. Then we need to change that.
Oh, I agree. We had to change it in Louisiana, which is an open carry state law, and that was one of the things. And another thing is get out of the 501c3 and just become a tax-exempt incorporation because you no longer fall underneath those guidelines.
Let me tell you another one. When you walk into those churches, a lot of them, they have that sign on the front of it, no guns. Everybody knows what that looks like, no weapons in here. You know that's because of insurance. You know the insurance is the one doing it. Now I wonder about this church that got shot up down in Sutherland. I wonder what the insurance is doing now. I wonder what kind of insurance claims are coming against them now.
Coach, the team. My thought is it's better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
You didn't make that up, Chad, but I like it. I like it.
Right.
So listen, here's what I'm saying. If you're going to be in that church, you better regain some. A voice in that church. And you need to tell your pastor, this is me, I'm not a pastor. I'd go to my pastor and say, Pastor, I want you to know something. If I can't conceal carry in this church, I'm going to find another church. Folks, I think it's that serious. We have got to bring back again the idea of self-defense. Not only that, defense of others around us. If, as I said, if you want to sit there and be holier than thou and let somebody come in and mow you down, brother, that is your choice. But you have a moral I believe, to protect the innocent people around you. That little 10-year-old girl who got shot beside you, she didn't choose that. She didn't choose that. When the scripture says that we're to lay down our lives for our friends, that's what it's talking about. That you do whatever you can to preserve her life. And sometimes that includes carrying a gun. Now, relax. Defensive purposes only. Defensive purposes only. Christians shouldn't be carrying guns and going around and shooting at people. We know that. It should go without saying. But for us to have the ability to defend ourselves, we are sitting ducks in our churches. And if you think this is the last one, why didn't this old boy go show up at some local NASCAR event shooting people? Well, we know the answer. We know that. Why didn't he show up at some tea party? Well, we know the answer to it. Somebody jump in. Hey, boys, I'm feeling this. Somebody jump in.
Yeah. And one of the things that I spoke to some people yesterday, actually, who are gun-toting, loving the Lord Christians and wanting to do some training. And I said, just like simulation of anything, even the police forces use a simulation. I said, y'all come to my church and we'll use a simulation setting of a church to be prepared and how to act in that arena of a church. In other words, going out to a gun range, that's great, learn how to shoot, but to actually being in a building where there's sanctuary and seats and you know, tactical training, maybe I can get Chad to come down here and work with some of these guys. But they're wanting, and I said, man, my church is open, let's do this, so we can train people that in a congregational setting, you know, to be able to, brother, we're not protecting the flock, we're not being shepherds of the flock to begin with.
That's right, Dale. God bless you, man. I wish there were more. See, guys, listen, this is why we have to provoke them to love and to good works. We cannot sit silently in our pews and allow some 6-foot icicle up there, give us reasons why we shouldn't have guns in the sanctuary of God. Come on, man. Come on. We gotta stand up. We have to push back against this stuff just simply with common sense. And listen, think about this. That good old boy down there in Sutherland Springs, he's a hero today. Why is he a hero? Because he stopped a man who was going to kill innocent people. He is a hero. Hey, dudes, how can you be a hero if you don't have something to protect the innocent people around you? That is my position on it. Somebody else jump in.
Hey, like Dale said, how about we get churches to take people on ranges and show them how to protect themselves?
Yes. We've got to change the mentality of the church. Who has to? We do. We got to. You have got to go. You've got to become an agitator. You have to become a provocateur. Folks, this ain't 1954 anymore. All right? We're living in an entirely different society and an entirely different world. Somebody.
Coach, let me throw out a recommendation to the whole lot of us. We're all over the country, and what Judy and I do is we host concealed carry permit training here in our living room. So if we go into the church and talk to a few people, get some of those ladies, I'll give you a real quick story. My brother had a fiance. He was at work. She was coming home, raped and killed. And it's all because she had the gun inside the house. The guy used her gun that she used for protection on her when she got home. So it's an awareness for women. I travel a lot, and I tell my wife, you got to have a gun in your car and one in the house. Because if they're in the house, you need to carry it in with you. So it's a whole mindset.
Mark, it was interesting. The old boy that rescued those people, he had to go to his gun safe and get it out. And he regretted that. He regretted that it wasn't just right there where he could grab it. He had to go unlock the safe and get the gun out of the safe. And that's precious time, Mark, if there's an intruder, somebody breaking into your precious time.
Not only did he have to do that, but he had to load his magazines. He didn't even have magazines loaded. The time to open up a safe, the time to load his magazine. I mean, bless God that he was there, you know. And listen, people sit there and when people bash on me about this stuff, and I just shut them right up real quick, because I always say, you don't understand. I said, listen, my mom was shot point blank in the head when I was 7 years old. Don't tell me I don't understand. I said, I bear to protect. And I said, America, pastors need to realize and read some history. The Black Robe Regiment were ministers who signed up people with military, with their guns, and they went right out to the battlefield during the Revolutionary War.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
Let me just finish that. If you can get someone you know to do the class, all you do is host it. Now you've got a group of family people together. You're teaching them concealed carry. It's a great time to witness. And we can do that sort of stuff. I've seen these flyers laying around, and women pick them up. Guys pick them up, and they go to these classes. So it's pretty easy to do.
So Mark, never let a crisis go to waste. This is a great crisis in the church. And we've got to push back. We've got to stand up and push back now. That's why, again, I think the shirts are going to be effective, because I think we've got to bring pressure on those guys in the pulpit.
Hey, Coach.
We also do a men's retreat once a year at our church, and we bring them up to our camp in Mississippi, and we bring all of our guns, all of our ammunition. And so men who don't shoot guns regularly, we actually teach and train them. And that's one of the things I'm looking at, is actually doing a concealed carry license class at the church. But we do that with our men once a year. We actually take all the men on a retreat, 2-day retreat, and guns are involved.
But let me ask you a question here, fellas. And Joe, don't forget, I'm coming back to you here in a second, Joe. How did we begin to equate Christianity with nonviolence? Can somebody tell me how that happened? Now, again, I'm going to say this, and right-wing watch, you can write whatever you want to. I believe in violence in defensive posture only. That's what I believe. Violence to prevent destruction of the innocent. I believe in that violence. Now, brothers, you guys know this, that in our local churches, There are men standing in the pulpit that do not agree with that. What's that? How do we get to this point? How did we get this point where carrying a gun was not Christian?
God doesn't sanction suicide.
Just because the devil came on the back of your shirts.
The back of the devil came into church. Yeah.
The back says the devil came to church.
That's what happened.
The devil came to church. That's right. The devil came to church. The devil came to church. But see, it's a whole mindset. Guys, can I tell you what? Listen. It's the effeminization of the church. Women don't like guns. Women don't. You take a gun out of your house. Just walk into, you walk into a family reunion. Well, maybe that's not a good one. You walk into any gathering where there's a group of people, and you are open carry. You had that gun on your side, and you watch the reaction of the women. The men won't say anything. But the women, oh my goodness, put that gun down. Keep that gun away from the children. Like he doesn't, guy carrying a gun doesn't know that, right? But understand this, it's that spirit of feminism that is alive and well and running the church. And so the pastors are what? We know who runs the church. I want to make masculinity okay again in the church. That's what I want to do. You with me, Big Rich?
Hey, Dave.
We're with you, bro.
You know, hey, number one, I've never needed, as a godly man, I'm not anti-government, I'm pro-wisdom. And people can say whatever they want. Experience is the best teacher. Just what happened down here in Texas teaches us, you know, we can't be sitting ducks. A year ago, a man tried to carjack me until he got a gun stuck in his face. And that was the end of that's the end of the story. So it's just common sense. You carry a gun to protect you and yours. It's that simple.
Brother, if somebody, oh my goodness, if somebody carjacks me, I'm sitting in my car right now. If somebody carjacks me and I'm with my wife and I can't do anything about it, I'm going to feel miserable. I just don't feel, I couldn't protect my wife. Well, why couldn't I protect my wife? Because I didn't prepare to protect my wife. I didn't prepare. I don't know about you guys.
Hey, Coach.
I carry a jack in this car. I got a jack. I've never, ever used it. But if I have a flat tire, I'm prepared. Why is carrying a gun not preparation? Go ahead, jump in here.
Hey, Coach. One thing I'm thinking about, too, I mean, you know, maybe you don't got your CCW yet. Maybe you're working towards it or working towards getting a gun. But you know, one of the biggest takeaways from my CCW class was just how aware you need to be of your surroundings and how few people really pay attention to what they're walking into, where they're positioning themselves in a building or a room. That was my biggest takeaway. And so many people just walk down the street looking at their phone or they walk, you know, into a building and they put themselves in the worst place in regards to being able to get out or get to where they could help other people if they do have a concealed carry. And that's what I tell anybody now, whether you have a concealed carry or not, you got to be aware of everything that's going on. You got to have that mindset of what would happen if something bad happened here. In your church, in your life, that's what you got to have.
When I pulled into this parking lot here today, it was dark. Before I parked my car, I did a loop through the parking lot. And I was looking for any suspicious car, anything that might be able to cause me some problems. You know what I did? I saw one. And you know what I did? I parked right in front of him. Because I wanted to see him. I wanted to be able to keep my eyes on. That's what Dylan's talking about, being aware, right? I didn't walk into some stupid trap just because I didn't have the common sense to do it.
Coach, it's what I see going on and what I feel is if you've ever been to Israel or countries where the culture is carrying guns, the military's in the streets carrying guns, and it's just a part of society. We've never been in a society like that. Our forefathers have,
right.
But we haven't. We are numb to the fact that we even need to protect ourselves, and And the immigrants and the open borders have allowed this unsafe condition where moral don't count, life don't matter, and we aren't comfortable to care. So it's just another long-term game of Satan, right?
That's right. And so I want you all to think about this. By the way, folks, I just discovered something. 25 people is the maximum number that we can get in the queue, and we reached it. We reached it yesterday. We've reached it today. I've been telling everybody 30. We are out there. I got emails from people yesterday saying, hey, I couldn't get in. You said it was 30. Well, I guess it's wrong. It just popped up here on my computer. This call has reached the maximum of 25 participants. So we have a full queue, and I'm sorry for those of you out there trying to get in, because I've been telling you the wrong thing on that. So I want you to think about this, guys. You know, Russ Dizdar comes on. He talks about MKUltra and mind control, and we know about all the different types of drugs that people are taking, psychosomatic drugs, you know, Ritalin, all that kind of stuff. Drop my glasses in. We know that we're talking about people who've now been influenced by psychotropic drugs. The people are, we know what the drug industry is doing, the pharmaceutical industry is doing. And there are more and more guys like this, like around us, that I would call hollow men. They're hollow. See, one of the real tragedies of this guy that came in there and shot all those people down there in Sutherland Springs was not that he was full of hate. Because I don't think he was full of hate. I think he was full of apathy. How could you possibly walk into, I don't know if you guys saw the names of the people that were killed. They were young, a lot of kids. See, it wasn't hatred that made him kill those little kids. It was just apathy. Who cares? It's all about me. Me, my mind. To shoot those young kids, guys, and then reload. And then reload and shoot them some more. We're now dealing not just with people who are full of hatred. We're dealing with people who are, they're out of their minds. And that's part of what Russ Ditto was trying to tell us with MKUltra and mind control and brainwashing. And so this isn't 1963. This isn't your Methodist church in 1963. We are living in a different culture, in a different society. And none of us listening to this show right now, none of us would be shocked if a high school got shot up tomorrow, if a shopping mall got shot up tomorrow, if somebody shot up, pick whatever, BMV, nobody would be shocked. Why? Because we know it's possible. Well, if we know that's possible, why are we making ourselves such sitting ducks? Go ahead. Okay, so listen, Joe, let me shift gears here a bit. I hate religion. I hate religion. That's one of the things I'm going to talk about to kids today when I go into Worthington Kilbourne High School this morning. The difference between Christianity and religion. Because we're so full of religion. The idea that you can't carry a gun in the church, guys, that's religion, baby. That's religion. That ain't Christianity. The idea that a guy would want to carry a gun to protect those around him, that's Christianity. The idea that you shouldn't carry a gun because it's not Christ-like, that's religion. All right? And so we find now with the separation between the church and state, I can't wait to get in there with these kids today. Because I'm going to ask them, why is it that everywhere we look, we are so anti-religion? Everything, anti-religion. Look at all the different religions around us. Religion and the hatred of religion. And it's the religious people. And, oh, it's those fundamentalist Muslims. And, oh, it's those fundamentalist Christians. Why do we hate Christianity so much? And I say we don't hate Christianity. I think it's because we hate religion. I hate religion. I think people hate what religion, man-made. Hey, Jared, look that up. Google that for me. I think we hate what man-made rules and regulations have done to us. I think that's why people are turned off by church. It's the same thing Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What did he say? He teaches commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of no effect.
And religion gets into it. Man-made rules and regulations teaches commandments, the doctrines of men. Doctrines of men is religion. The do's and the don'ts. You can do this. You can't do that. Can't you sign signs everywhere with signs? Blocking out my scenery, drink blades in my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? That's what most people today in America are viewing Christianity as being. Nothing more than a bunch of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. What does it say right there, Jared? Because I'm on my phone and I can't see my screen real good. What's the definition of religion in Merriam-Webster? What's it say, Jared?
Number one, it's the state of a religious, being religious. It's like a nun in her 20th year of religion. The service and worship of God or the supernatural. Commitment or devotion to religious faith or observance. A personal, set, or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices.
There you go! Bingo! Bingo! Read that one again, Jared.
A personal, set, or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices.
Boy, oh boy, oh
boy. Scrupulous conformity.
Can you say Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Church of God in Christ, Church of God in Christ, African Methodist Episcopal? Can you see all these different sets of rules and regulations that people look at the Bible and they say, well, you know, the Bible says here that we are not to adorn ourselves, no jewelry, so they start a church where there is no jewelry. I'm not taking a position on jewelry, all right? You get what's going on. We take the, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We take the Spirit of the Lord, the liberty of the Lord, and we want to turn it back into rules and regulations. And the Holy Spirit
is
all truth of what's right and what's wrong. The Holy Spirit does. Not some set of rules set up by a group of elders in your local church. And if I ask somebody right now, does anybody know the difference? Can somebody help me? The difference between the Assemblies of God, or how about this one? The difference between the Church of God and the Church of God in Christ. Can somebody tell me the difference in those two? Can somebody tell me the difference between the Assemblies of God and, pick your poison, the Vineyard? Can anybody tell me the difference?
They're rules and regulations.
Religion?
Isn't it just like public school, brother? We just take them from the public school aspect and we throw it into the pulpit. And we create the same mindset. Now, listen, I believe that there's oversight, in other words, in studying the teaching. But Ephesians chapter 4 is very clear for the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. And that is this, to equip the saints to do the works of the ministry. And we don't do that. All we want them to do is come and sit down, stand up, kneel down, act like this. God did not call us and save us to be good people. He's called us to be lions in a dangerous world.
Amen, brother. Amen. And we're not equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We're equipping the saints to follow the rules of the church. Hey, is Tim Tubra with us today? I wish he'd got up early this morning. I wish he was up early this morning and tell us about the battle he went through with the denomination, with the headquarters, whatever you want to call it. Religion, not Christianity. Hey, Joe, you ready to read that thing you were reading earlier?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Joe, I'm telling you the truth. I was going to talk about this before I heard you read that this morning. Is that something?
Because that's amazing.
I'm going to go into this school over here with 150, 200, probably 200 students today, and every one of them are full of religion, and there isn't one in 200 that knows Jesus. Just telling you the truth. They know the rules. They know the rules, but they don't get it, man. Go ahead, Joe.
Ready?
I'm ready, brother.
I lost you, Coach. I can't hear you.
I'm go. Go.
Okay. All right. The other day, if you've been following the program, Coach was talking about an article that he wrote concerning words and what they mean and things like that. And I just was out this morning having my first cup of coffee, and the Lord gave, I wrote, more and more words. What does the term, quote-unquote, Christian mean then and now? Then, at his time on earth and since forth to today, it simply means a follower of Christ. But now, in today's world, it is religion in one form or another, Christian or other, including atheist, Muslim, religions like Seventh-day Adventists, Hindus, all sects you can think of, Judaism, Satanists, all of it. We are commanded to come out of her and do it quickly and now. Tear the cords of religion and simply bind yourself to him, his son Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and unto his Holy Spirit. Join with others who have done the same, but do not get trapped or swayed by religion, because we have need only of his word, the Bible, prayer, and supplication. We are not our own, as we are created beings, for his pleasure, to love or destroy. Destroy? Yes, because he set the rules, and he must judge by those rules. Repent of your sin. In other words, stop sinning and ask forgiveness. Once you realize that he must and will judge, will you realize you are doomed to hellfire and brimstone, where time as we know it is still not moving eternally. No tick, no talk. And total awareness of your sentence by the judgment of God. But there is a way out. He sent his son as a sacrifice for us. And all is simply that what he did was real. Repent for our sin and follow him.
Did you write that, Joe? Did you write that, Joe?
Yes, sir, this morning.
Wow.
The Lord gave it to me this morning.
Folks, see, listen. I hear people say, you got to guard against this, all right? I have people all the time say, Coach, you need to start a church. I'm telling you, I fight it all the time. And I said, well, first of all, we are one. I have church every morning. We have church every morning. And I say, listen, start a home fellowship. Tell people, try to get a home fellowship. Here's your greatest temptation. Religion is so deeply embedded inside of us that at some point when you start a home fellowship, it won't be long before people are going to tell you, we need to get a building. We need to start. We need a church building. You hear me? Now, folks, just as we're doing here right now, Vince just typed in on here. I saw it. This is my church. I agree. It's mine too, Vince. I agree that it is mine. But those of you who are watching this program know that I'm constantly telling you, build a downline. Don't tune into me. Don't follow me. Hey, my kids sometimes don't even follow me. They know me. My kids sometimes don't follow me. Don't follow me. But follow, as Joe wrote there today, follow the Lord. Become filled with God. Read the Bible. See what the Bible says. And start right where you are. I had a dear brother call me yesterday. I won't use his name. I had a dear brother call me, former pastor, call me yesterday. And he was lamenting to me about his own family, his grandkids, and how, you know, grandkids aren't really being trained in the Lord, and how he had the opportunity to have the grandkids over the other night, and he sat down and did a Bible study with his grandkids. And I said to him, come on, man. Come on, man. You've been on the sidelines too long. Come on. You've been trained to be a professional pastor. Shake that off, man. Shake that off. Just be a disciple. Right where you are, be a disciple. Begin with your family. Begin with your neighbors. Start having services in your house. Quit worrying about building a church and growing and expanding. That's all man-made builds. It's all man-made. And every one of you right here, right now today, as Matt Tice has told us over and over and over again, if you are being by what you are seeing here, can you explain to me why you have not yet called five people over to your house, viewed one of these, and then asked them to discuss what they just heard? That is being the church. And you are free to not agree with me. You're free to have an open discussion with everybody in the room, that they will make their own faith their faith, not what coach said or not what coach teaches. It isn't about any of that. Right there where you are to bloom, baby. You're to bloom right where you are. And the only way that we're going to move beyond this corrupted religious system is to go, thank you, Lord, go back to the future. We got to go back to the future. We got to go back and see how this whole thing began and go back there. Go back there. Hey, folks, 2017, November 9th, 10th, whatever it is. Has America gotten better in your lifetime? Has the church gotten better and more effective in your lifetime? Do we hear what the Lord says when he says, I am not going to pour new wine into old wineskins? Why do we think this cold, dead, liturgical church that got us where we are is all of a sudden going to wake up? I'm going to tell you this. As I said the other day, Ichabod has been written over the doors of most churches in America. Ichabod meaning what? The spirit has departed. Oh, they're gathering, and they have religion, and they're going through all the motions. Brothers, build yourself a downline. Get in the game. Be a leader. Be a captain. Be a maker of disciples. Be a leader of men and women. And teach the stuff that we discuss here on this show. Teach it to others. That's what a wise man does. That's what it says in Psalm 78, that you teach it to your children, they will teach it to their children. You teach it to your neighbors. You teach it to the unchurched. Come on. This is a great vehicle. You don't need to use Pass the Salt. Get on the internet and go through and look at some YouTubes and say, man, that is an awesome thing. It could be 3 minutes long. It could be 4 minutes long. I do it all the time here. There are great lessons in short little videos. Sit down with five or six people, play the video, and say, what do you think? Let their faith become their faith. Get them, rescue them from religion. I'm done with that rant. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach?
Yep.
Can I read a little poem that was brought to me by the Holy Spirit?
Sure, because it's effective, isn't it? Isn't it effective? If people begin to think, little poems make us think. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, so Jesus is the grace that binds us, and God is the love that intertwines us. When we gather together as one mind in one place, there's no mountain we can't move in the presence of his grace. Seeking the Lord through prayer and fasting, we are taught through the sacrifice of ultimate everlasting to walk in truth without, sorry, I can't even read my own handwriting here, without griping or fear.
When was the last time, as you're reading that, you just said something. Hey, folks, you ready? You sitting down? When's the last time that your congregation was called to a fast and held to it? Because you know what I hear all the time? Talking about fasting. You know what I hear people say? Well, fast. Go ahead and fast. Just try to do one meal. Do the best that you can. No. It's a spiritual discipline. Say, Lord, I'm gonna go all day without eating. Come hell or high water, I'm going all day without eating. Ain't nothing gonna make me put anything in my mouth. It builds a spiritual discipline. Don't try to fast. Fast. Those spiritual disciplines. When's the last time that you were in church where your pastor, that 6-foot icicle standing in front of you, challenged you to do something great? I'm listening. They want to tell you all this stuff that God wants to do for you. They never put any demands upon you in your faith. Never, ever. Not most of the churches I see. Not most of them. Well, Pastor Bill Dunphy does. I'd pat him on the back. But for the most part.
There's a few of us, Coach. Remember, there's always a remnant. It's,
you understand what I'm saying, though, right, Pastor Dale? You understand what I'm saying?
Hey, brother. I agree with you wholeheartedly. My heart, the reason why I don't go overseas is because America has become the melting pot of need of mission field because pastors have prophesied falsely, and the people love it so. There's a problem there.
Yeah, there is, brother. There is. So listen, hey, we have to invade. We have to become the Christian virus or Christian bacteria. You do know this, don't you? That the other side got to where they are by invasion. They invaded the churches. They invaded the schools. They invaded the seminaries. They came in and they snuck in and they took over these institutions. Well, fellas, we're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to do the same.
Here's your acronym, Coach. Here's your acronym. Carmen used a long time ago. It's called a riot. A righteous invasion of truth.
A righteous invasion of truth. Hey guys, listen. If you can't convince those people, your friends that are Christians, so called, if you can't convince them, you're not going to convince the lost. Probably not. We have to start, baby. Judgment begins first. Where? In the house of God. We gotta create a riot. Thank you, Dale. We gotta create a riot inside the four.
Well, Coach.
An evacuation. Run for your life. Where would you run? Well, come over to my house. We're gonna open the Bible and we're gonna study it. And we're gonna get deep. Hey, you can do that. Every one of you listening to my voice, you can do that.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Along with that, with this kind of idea of what you're talking about is when you start living like a Christian, and that is going to the abortion clinic, going to the homo parade, you end up – it's kind of like – you know how people say, like, live for a story, you know? Oh, that's a good story. Well, all of your stories become the gospel. You know what I mean? All of your stories that you tell people. I was on the phone the other day with a salesman, and he's like, what do you do? What do you do? This, that. And he was like, well, yeah. This guy, Coach Dave, you know? And then he's like, oh, yeah, well, what do you guys do? And I'm like, well, we go to homo parades, and we tell them to repent of their evil and wicked ways. And he's like, well, you know. And, you know, and it's just, I'm just telling them a story about my life, you know, and it happened at the gym, the same thing. You just tell them a story. You're like, hey, here's this great story. I've got this awesome story. We went to this homo parade, and we told them how wicked and evil they are, and they got so pissed at us, you know. Don't you agree? Isn't it gross? Isn't it wicked? And don't we need to repent? You know, just tell them the story.
Amen. Hey, listen, guys, you're not going to believe this. My phone's going to go dead on me. I just got the warning. I got 2 minutes left on my phone. So before I zone out of here, yesterday I drove up the top. My wife and I, we moved on the property where our grandchildren live about 100 yards up top of us. And I walked up to the house, up in my grandkids' house the other day. And there was my 7-year-old Reese, and she was reading, and I said, Reese, what are you reading? I'm just making a conversation. What are you reading, Reese? And she said, oh, Grampy, I'm reading a book of Bible stories. And I grabbed her a hold of the arm. I said, Reese, you're not reading Bible stories, sweetheart. You're reading Bible history. You understand, Reese, there was a David, there was a Goliath, there was a Samson, there was an Adam, there was an Eve. Hey, Reese, you're not just reading stories. Story. Hmm? You're reading Bible history. Guys, I'm going to run. I'm out of power. And trust some of you to bring it home for me, man. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow. Mark Trump's going to be up with us tomorrow. God bless you, guys.
His phone ran out of power.
Well, hallelujah. Hey, listen, y'all, I didn't get a chance to tell Coach this morning, but, you know, as a pastor, I was just telling my wife, she walked in the kitchen. I said, I'm deeply blessed what Coach does with us every day. I believe it creates a camaraderie. I believe it creates a stirring in a man's heart early in the morning or a woman's heart. I believe it also creates an accountability. I believe that one of the big problems that are lacking is this accountability, man, and that, we need to have this, you know, that so many men are these long islands out there. There's so many men out there who need to be part of a cube like this that we can be spurned one another on unto good works. I believe that, make sure that we let Coach know that because, very faithful as he is, and I've known Coach for 10 years, and of course, being interacted with the cube only the past several months. But, this is a good thing in which it creates. I just had texted Chad from Texas earlier, you know, opening up my church. I got some local men who go to other churches to create a training course for men in these areas, you know, to protect the flock. So, we're living in some very peculiar times. I believe any person you can walk down the street and just ask them, don't you believe something is just, you know, you can't explain it, but something peculiar is happening. And I believe God's spirit is about to be poured upon all flesh, like it says in the book of Acts. And I believe that the power of the spirit of God, and here's another thing, it's not just to meet, you know, we're dealing with evil. I believe that there's coming a time where the spirit of God is going to be so powerful, just like it was in the book of Acts. Remember Ananias and Sapphira, they came in with that lying, devilish, killing spirit. And look what happened. The Lord himself struck them down dead right there at the door. And I believe that that kind of power is coming because the problem is that there's no fear of the power of God, not in the church, and therefore it lacks in the world. Because why all of a sudden are these shootings happening? Is because we've become the sissified church. We've no longer become, you know, bold as lions, you know? And so, this is a good thing, and we're quickening and we're awakening and we're not alone. Look, and I know it, Pastor, and I know he talks many of the churches, but there are many good pastors out there. There's nothing wrong with being underneath that. I believe that it says in the book of Acts, they broke bread, they gathered together, fellowshipping and given under the teachings, not under the dogma, but under the teachings of the scripture. So I believe that God places in good men. So I believe that there are good pastors. I know Bill Dunford, he's a fantastic man. So there are good pastors out there. They're just hard to find. And so what you're going to have to do, just like the scripture says, is like that lady did. She searched in her house. She lit her light. She lit her candle, and she searched for that coin until she found it. And so I believe that there's probably some churches that you can be affiliated and accountable with. That, and if you can't find one, just come on down to Louisiana, transplant yourself, and I'll be more than glad to join up with you.